Blog Talk Radio.
Listening to Bad Company. This show is brought to you by a group on allpoetry.com called Late Night Poets. We also have anthologies available on amazon.com that help support these shows, so feel free to check those out. And yeah, so tonight's show is based on a contest that I ran called Your Most Soulful Write for Bad Company, and we got a full page of poetry here to get through. And yeah, so welcome, welcome. All right, I'm going to go to the phone lines here and we'll see who we've got. Hi, Katie. AKA
Hello.
Green.
Hello.
How are you?
Gray. I'm wonderful, thank you. How are you?
I'm good, thank you. And I appreciate you staying up this late for calling in and hanging out.
Oh, thank you. Mary
O'Brien.
It's a pleasure.
Yes. Yeah, that's awesome. All right. So I'm going to grab the first poem. Oh, maybe I'll grab the second poem. Oops. Sorry, I'm having troubles with the links here. There it is. All right. Lonely. I'm just trying to find a female right here.
Well, yeah. I can do a male. I can do a male read. Listen.
Hello. How are you?
All right. Okay. Well, I'll give you a blues man's. That's the first poem on the list. All right. Pasting it into the group. All right. Anytime you're ready, please, Kate. Katie?
No problem, my dear. Here we go. And it opens. Good. Lovelorn Lament by Blues Man. Oh, to be mired in such melancholy sadness, in autumn's prelude to winter's long cold breath, as nature's requiem races down every leafy vein, so shall a chilling lament trace the lines of my back. As if it were only yesterday we had pledged our love under the vibrant colours of autumn's splendour, comforted in the knowledge we would have solace in the loving warmth we found in each other's arms. Such passion would chase away the coldest of nights, and we would know joy in the midst of winter. Our love shielded the depression of this darkest season until spring rains washed away winter's bitter scorn. In bittersweet sadness I watch the leaves slowly turn as tears well up and linger in the corner of my eyes. They capture the sun in a kaleidoscopic explosion of colour, endearing warmth of memory to endure the long cold dark. End poem.
It was a fantastic read, Katie. And, you know, I really enjoyed the write. It was heart-wrenching, but beautiful in the same time. At the same time, because memories are all you have when, in the end, when it's said and done. And, you know, using those to keep you warm through the winter months is a fantastic thought and a beautiful expression. So very soulful, right? And what did you think, Katie?
Oh, yes, it's always so, so sad when you see someone has lost, and as he said, his soulmate. It doesn't matter how often or how many, and we know it's inevitable, but by golly, it hurts. And I do always feel so sad for people who are suffering that, because it's a big hole in your heart, basically. So, lovely lament to your loved one, Blues Man, and thank you so much for sharing.
Excellent comment. Thank you, Kate, for reading and commenting. All right, so I'm going to grab the second one here. I'm going to post this to the group. Before I get started, I'm going to check the phone lines here. Oh, looks like it's just us for the time being, at least. All right. Hello, Poeta, on the board. Good to see you, Poeta de Cabra. All right, so this is by Gronwy, and it's called A Final Line of Reckoning. And I'm just going to switch this to desktop mode so I can read it better. A Final Line of Reckoning by Gronwy. Coin in mouth, hearing sirens, singing temptation to lost souls, swimming down the Styx flood, never reaching Hades' shore. Washed overboard from the Chiron's slowly rowed boat, drowning on wave-washed shores of truth, confessed in sands of time, seeking crust of life or rebirth in horizon, lies of fear and hope, discovering all in all is just pretend, left in a boneyard's dust, waning in a lover's sea of sex, naked and grasping for breath, looking through a kaleidoscope of death, signposting tomorrow's road, silencing the toiling bell, cloaked in the coffin shroud, made in Cinderella, sackcloth, rags from songs of poetry, dubbed with the fading of time, told tales of failing, forgotten history. Gabriel pulls the ground out, man ashore from his swim of lost faith. Lying naked in the clouds, avoiding the grief of graves. A headstone shouts from an empty one asking for a pound of flesh. My half-ghost declines to pay the bill, fleeing death's sinking hand. My cadaver shouts a reckoning is due. I'm pitying myself, wanting one more line, just one more line to put up the flame burnt on pages written by the pen of pain. And then he says in his author notes, just when I thought it might be. So this, you know, speaks to me of being near death and surviving that and coming out the other end, you know, trying to erase the pain of that time. So fascinating, right? Definitely soulful and very well written. So great, right? Thank you, Roman. And what did you think, Katie?
Yes, this was great. I love that first stanza. Again, it just brings everything neatly together for you so you know what's going on, which I love at the beginning of anything. Coin in mouth, hearing sirens singing temptation to lost souls, swimming down the Styx flood, never reaching Hades' shore, washed overboard from Sharon's slow-rowed boat, drowning on wave-washed shores of truth, confessed in sands of time. That's just amazing, isn't that just lovely? So yes, you're right. This is somebody who is looking forward to having more than he expected, and I did enjoy it very much. I thought it was well written, and it flowed beautifully, and that was a great read, by the way, Grace. So thank you so much, Garonway. Ah, Garonway, amazing name. Thank you for sharing.
Thank you, Katie. Appreciate the comment. So I'm going to post this as a group. And if anyone wants to read it, link it, Katie. That would be fantastic.
Okie dokie.
There you go.
Got it. Open up, please. There we are. Our Once Upon a Time. Oh, by Words in My Mind. 1. You drew first blood, suppressing my rainbow dreams from reaching the light of day. You exemplified the essence of succubus, reminding me of a creature from medieval folklore. 2. Something burned inside of me, something savage. The urge for retribution was stronger than a full-scale hurricane. My temper was fierce, rivaling the gods of Mount Olympus, but I kept it at bay. 3. You planted the seed of lunacy in my mind before it grew into a forest of protest, insanity. Daggers of betrayal sliced my happy memories in half, eviscerating any trace of our once upon a time. 4. Now all I can visualize are fractured ruins from our past. I occasionally notice fragments in mirrors and ponds, water. Drops of midnight rain soothe my broken confidence as cosmic sadness comforts my wounded heart. 5. On lonely nights, I invent a place where angels reside. I picture an ethereal realm comprised of glowing meadows and cloudy cities soaked in the richest ambiance, my own little paradise. 6. The Garden of Possibilities contains many theories of what might have been. Every now and then, I visit its clandestine location, adding color to its monochrome appearance. 7. Perhaps I'm cynical, but I'm not clinical. I'm in a critical way, and I struggle to obey. Pragmatic instincts. I was neglected, pushed, shoved. All I ever wanted was to be loved. 8. As I join a scarecrow in a field of corn, I wait for a brand new day to dawn.
Beautiful reading. Yep. Sorry, I was fighting the mutant button.
Oh, no.
Yeah. But no, that was a wonderful read and a touching poem. I mean, you know, it speaks to a rough life. And, you know, as I join a scarecrow in a field of corn, I wait for a brand new day to dawn. what a way to end it, you know, like being reborn with the corn. It's a fantastic thought. So amazing, right? And I think we have a caller, so I'm going to check the line here, Kate, before you comment.
Okay. Yep.
Hey,
hello,
guys,
area code
1-1. Here.
Hey, Dan, how are you?
Hey, Greg. Hey, Weaver. What's
great
happening, everyone?
Thank you for calling. I appreciate it. So how are you doing tonight?
I'm doing okay. I can stick around for a little bit. It's been a extremely busy life, say it that way.
Yeah.
But I was so exhausted today. I actually took two naps, so that's why I'm up so late. So, but I joined the party for a little bit before I fall asleep.
Oh,
yeah.
Great. Did you get a chance to get
on that? I did. Weaver, I know you're like, I don't know, are you up really late, or did you just not go to bed yet? I mean, or up early, like, I can never figure out what you're doing.
Well, it's 3:15 here. I don't sleep much. I only sleep about 2 and a bit hours a night. So,
oh, wow.
Yeah, I honestly have about 22 hours to fill in a day. So thank goodness for poetry.
That's right. Yeah, I did get to listen to this and read it, and it was very deep and soulful, and you can really feel this, you know, the beginning of the succubus and the person that looks like stole his heart. You know, no matter, I mean, some people can be cold and callous and have these, you know, one night stands, whatever, and they don't even care. But, you know, if you really care about somebody, any kind of a relationship, whether it's physical or not, when you care deeply about somebody, there's a connection. And he even talks about possibly, you know, cosmic, you know, drops of midnight rain soothe the broken confidence as cosmic sadness comforts my wounded heart. You know, if you ever read anything about quantum entanglement, I do believe in that. And it's, you know, it's a real physical thing that they found. And I can't believe that if you're connected with somebody romantically, if you love somebody, you don't become that kind of cosmic connection. There has to be something like that. And so to be able to, you know, talk about those, that sadness of whatever this person did to him, on lonely nights, I invented a place where angels reside. So he's kind of finding a way to hide there. You know, at the end, I was neglected, pushed, shoved. All I've ever wanted was to be loved. And I think that's what we all want, right? And when you do love, you know, you want to love someone, you want to be with someone, you can't for whatever reason. It can be one of the most trying things in somebody's life. And I just think that this person really, really told a great story in a beautifully poetic way about, you know, this sadness and this heartfelt issue in their life. But yeah, very, very well done. I enjoyed it.
Absolutely. Great comment. Thank you, Daniel. And Weaver, you got to read it. What did you think?
It was a pleasure to read, which is always a wonderful thing. If you can just flow with the words and enjoy them as you read them, that's a pleasure that you can't even imagine. Sometimes, you know, I look at my stuff, and that's my criteria. If it flows and if it doesn't make you stumble, then it's okay. We'll get there. I thought this was it's the sadness. That's the trouble with me. I empathize too much. It's the sadness that gets you. It must be awful to care. I mean, I really relate to that stanza about being neglected, pushed and shoved. I know exactly how that feels. And of course, all you ever wanted was to be loved. It's a simple thing. You wouldn't think it would be that difficult. But I find love to be such a hard thing to deal with, because it's either absolutely wonderful or absolutely terrible. And rarely do you have that middle ground, unless it's your cousin or, you know, whatever. That kind of love is different. But yes, I thought this was beautifully written. I really loved it, and I could feel the pain. So thank you so much for sharing that with us.
Great comment. Thank you, Katie. Okay, Daniel, you called just in time, because we need a male reader for this next one. This is for Poeta de Cabra. It's called Kneel Down and Cried. Knelt Down and Cried by Poeta de Cabra.
Ah, I will be happy. That's one role I can definitely fill. And I believe part of the cover is listening in. I saw them on the board, so hi there.
Yeah, he is.
Hey, Phil. Phil just said hi as well, too. Yep, it's called Meltdown and Cry. Excuse me. Loved my family and friends. Please don't get me wrong. When I got the job abroad, never intended staying long. Was very successful at my job. The years went quickly by. I had missed my friend, though, without a word of a lie. Sister had got married, moved to another state. So had mom and dad. I thought that was great. Was now driving through street of my hometown. Didn't recognize any of the folk walking or driving around. Eased my car over the bridge, out road to see my mate. Could feel a sense of excitement and could hardly wait. Could just picture his house down bottom of the hill. Wanted to surprise him, give him a big thrill. But I got a terrible shock. At the Garden State, weeds and trees overgrown and a padlock on the gate. Sitting on side of pathway, an old man on a chair. He was uncouth, dirty, and in obvious despair. I walked up a bit closer, then recognized the man. It was my mate's father with his face in hands. Said, things look a bit grim. Mind telling me why? Old fellow looked up at me, wiped a tear from his eye. He said, a man went crazy here whilst wielding a knife, killed my son, his family, and also my sweet wife. Slaughtered son and grandkids, raped his by my wife. He may be locked up in jail, but it's me doing life. Couldn't believe the police when they found them all dead. Why? I asked them why. Didn't you put a gun to his head? Couldn't help going down on my knee, a tear in my eye. Took the man in my arms, needed to hug the old guy. Took the old man back for a shower and a shave. Bought him some clothes and flowers for the grave. It was an awful big grave, all buried side by side. Felt sick to my stomach as I knelt down and cried. End poem.
Wow, that was deep and heart-wrenching. You can feel the old man's presence in this poem, you know, as it haunts you throughout the write. You know, the scene is just horrendous. I mean, you know, killed his son's kids and his wife. Yeah, just a heart-wrenching poem, very sad and tragic. But, you know, there's an uplifting where, you know, somebody's put you under their wing to bring you to some shelter and help comfort you as much as they could. And, yeah, you know, it's definitely dark, but, you know, it was definitely fantastic. I mean, you know, I'm still kind of choked up about it. You know, such a devastating way to finish out your life without your family. You know, a man went crazy here whilst wielding a knife, killed my son and his family, and also my sweet wife. You know, when you lose your whole family like that and your wife, that's got to be devastating. And then to try to live through that, you know, it's, yeah. Definitely a punch in the face, that is. But excellent write, Poeta, and a damn good read, Daniel. And what did you think, Katie?
Yeah. I, of course, am hoping that this is fiction. If it's true, it is the most tragic and horrible thing. God, the world is just weird. It's just beginning to get to the point where you can't even be very sure as you can walk past somebody in the street. You know, I never had any fear of anything. And even I'm beginning to think, it's getting a bit odd. So I'm, yes, awfully sad. That's just, you think to yourself it's not possible. But we know now, we know it is possible. People are being desensitized by video games and by various things they see. And if you're desensitized, you don't care. You don't think about anybody else's pain. As they say here. Oh, dear. Really, really sad. And thank you for sharing it. It was beautifully written, of course. It flowed wonderfully. And it was a... it was... must have been hard to write. So thank you very much for sharing.
Yeah, you do hope this is coming from a place of fiction. There's no doubt there. Daniel, you got to read it. What did you think?
Yeah, I was trying not to cry while I was reading it. And like Katie said, unfortunately, these things, you know, I hope this isn't real, like we all said, but unfortunately, sometimes it is. I mean, I don't think either of you are in the United States, but unfortunately, it's a common place now. It wasn't, you know, 10 years ago, but it is now, where, you know, mass shootings and all these things. You know, it's sad, and you do see sometimes people whose whole families are gone. I'll tell a quick story. I always bring up this guy, Neil Peart, from the band Rush, and amazing guy. Unfortunately, his family was his wife and his daughter, and at one point his daughter was driving home from college and died in the car crash. And 9 months later, his wife died of cancer. But he says in his book, she died of a broken heart. So, you know, that wasn't people murdering. That was just, you know, bad luck. And here this guy is now, basically his family's gone within a 1 year period. And there's a book called Ghost Rider. I very highly recommend that. He goes on this like 56,000 mile motorbike, a trek to basically try to find himself. And he kind of talks, he describes the whole thing. So things like that happen to people, and it's just, I can't imagine, you know, how you survive. He did and moved on, but there is tough things. And this poem was, you know, just so well done and beautiful, and you know, a tale that's very, very heart wrenching. So great job, and again, we all hope that this is a work of fiction.
Yeah, he says in the group it was from his imagination. So.
Oh, good. I hope he went to a happy place afterwards and like watched a comedy or something. Cause, these things happen. You can just hope it's not you, you know.
Yeah.
But,
Yeah, you know, when you were talking about how much the world's changed, I remember 25 years ago walking down the sidewalk to go to the SkyTrain, and there's a group of kids, you know, all teenagers, young 20s, and they're covering the sidewalk, and you know, I'm like, okay, well, you know, it's getting dark. Do I cross the street or do I walk right through them? And that day I chose to walk right through them. And they split up like the parting of the oceans. But I don't know if I do that today. You know, I might cross the street just because who knows who's carrying what nowadays. And, you know, I thought it was bad back then, but it's definitely worse today. So definitely makes you think twice about passing these people on the street.
Absolutely. I mean, I remember when I was a kid, you know, There were people trying to beat you up. There were fights and stuff, but it wasn't like people killing each other, you know, or whatever. And it is a different, yeah. It's the randomness, you know. It's not the, like, you get in a fight with somebody at school or something. It's just these, you're just sitting there minding your own business, and you know, somebody tries to crash the plane, or you're in a club somewhere, and or a restaurant or a school, and somebody just walks in that doesn't even know you. And they just randomly killing. That's just the, you know, I like the John Lennon syndrome, right? I can't ever think of like that's to me, that's one of the saddest moments, because it was completely random, and there's nothing, you know. Martin Luther King, as tragic as he was, there was like a purpose behind it. There was something there but like somebody like Lennon or some of these, you know, people who just sitting in clubs. There's no reason.
Yeah.
But,
Yeah, you know, in our days they used to have brawls. Now they have drive-bys. So,
Yeah.
Well, it says, unfortunately, it's the same here in Australia, just not with the gangs. Well, you're lucky about the gang thing, because America and Canada are full of them.
Yeah, everywhere.
Impactful, right, no doubt. Thank you, Poeta, for sharing. Okay, so I've got the next poem up. This is called Likes, Dislikes, and Love, Mighty Might by Poetic Prince R.W. I am who I am, and whose I am, we are people of and who we are. Sorry, I'm going to put this in a desktop mode before I get going here. Should have done that from the start. Let me restart this. Likes, Dislikes, and Love Mighty Might by Poetic Prince R.W. I am who I am and whose I am. We are people of and who we are. They are who they are and whose they are from the beginning of the world's destiny. Yet God assisted, God directed, and God revealed. Evaluations are in the unseen and seen. All this was meant to be from the beginning of the world's destiny. First, have your way and will with me, Lord. Love, you said, is the perfect key, unlocking the hearts of those who would believe. This from the foundation of the world's destiny. A new creation we are called to be. Good deeds and works are laid out for we. Only grace and a willing heart to achieve. From already written, book of life, from all eternity, in the poem. You know, my brother passed away when I was 10 years old, and that night I had, I don't know, the great spirit or God or whatever you want to call him, visit me, and it was a male and a female voice synchronized, and that was the message that they gave me. You know, life is a battle of good and evil, and you got to fight for the good. You don't have to pray at church. You don't have to, you know, follow man's buildup of love for me in these houses of God. You do that in your heart with love, and you'll make your way to us. So, yeah, that's, I kind of got that out of this message. Epic, right? And fantastic to read it. So thank you for sharing what it brings, R.W. What did you think, Katie?
Oh, yes, this was a very heartfelt poem, and yes, I did enjoy it. It's great. I mean, I envy anybody who has a faith. It's a wonderful thing to have. I lost both my little sisters, so I know exactly what that feels like to lose people close to you, and it's never easy. So if you can then connect with a faith, and feel that, you know, there are hands that are holding you up, then that's a great thing. So I really appreciate this. It's great that you can share your faith and your thoughts with us. And thank you so much for sharing.
Wonderful comment. Thank you, Katie. And Daniel, what did you think?
Yeah, I absolutely thought this was great. You know, in reading Poetic Prince's little biography here, you can tell he's obviously very Christian religious. You can see that, and, you know, faith is it really is a beautiful thing. You know, everybody has their belief in what God is, whether you're an atheist or whatever you are, you still have a belief, right? Not believing in God is still a belief in what you think God is. And those that have the faith to believe and see the beauty in it, you know, can embrace it like he has here, absolutely. You know, your God assisted, God directed, God revealed. Evaluations are the unseen and seen. All this was meant to be from the beginning of the world's destiny. You know, there's so many things that we can't, you know, that we don't understand. You know, one of the age-old ones is, you know, if there is God, why do bad things happen to good people? And, you know, the answer is bad things happen to everybody. You know, it's kind of the way of the world, and it's up to people to help each other through good and bad times. You know, and life is a gift, and you know, I just like the heartfelt of this, of keeping your, you know, always trying to keep the faith and always looking in the bright side and always looking at the, you know, trying to find the positive. Great job, Poetic Prince. I enjoyed it.
Thanks so much. And all right, I've got the next poem up, if you wouldn't mind, please, Weaver.
Oh, yes, of course. I was just unmuting myself. Lisa, I shall be with you in a moment. Come on, you stubborn son of a sea dog. There we are. Got it. Those long dark nights of the soul. When you filter through the dark recesses of your mind, are you still certain you understand all that you find? Can you say you know yourself 100%? Even in extreme times of anger, when you go off all hell-bent, are there not times in your life that still puzzle even you? The humble narrator left speechless, operating without a clue? I can honestly state I do not fathom all of my life's actions. There have been a few rare occurrences that lead me to confusion. Is it an old brain injury, mental illness, or stupid naivety? Sorry, I couldn't say that properly. Sometimes it feels like autopilot or something possessing me. I persist in this world trying to do the best that I can, however. But some questions go unanswered, like a long-lost unopened letter. End poem.
Wow. That's definitely introspective, right? You know, wondering about those times that, you know, you messed up. And how did you do that when you know you're not that person? He says in his author's notes, four moral in a bottle, the best of least Van Amsterdam. And he says in his author's notes that, hold on one second here, sorry. He says, I have self-published poetry, three poetry books in the last 3 years, Schizophrenic Process, or Poetics, The World According to Leif Van Amsterdam, and I'm in the zone, raw poetry. So feel free to check those out. I'm sure they're on Amazon or that other little book that they have. No, I can't think of it. Anyway. Yeah, feel free to check those out, and that was a great share. Definitely, you know, we all have to look back and wonder how and why we did things and what ever brought that about. So sometimes you don't get the answer to those questions, which is leaving me questioning, which is a good thing on a poem. Yeah, great job. Daniel, what did you think?
I did enjoy this, and I really like the... like you said, the intro-reflection, you know, or is it here? Can you say you know yourself 100% even in extreme times of anger when you go off all hell-bent? I always say that nobody ever thinks themselves stupid. Nobody ever thinks themselves a jerk, but there's a lot of stupid jerks in the world. You know, when people are doing bad things, they're usually... or they're screaming at somebody. They're out of control yelling. You know, I see, you know, now it's, you know, whatever the thing, you know, the latest, you know, marches are of people doing things. You know, now it's the transgender people. And I'm not saying I'm for or against anything. I don't want to get political, but I see people screaming and, you know, they're justifying themselves at that time that I'm supposed to scream, I'm supposed to attack. I mean, even we talked about these people that are going with guns. You know, I always wonder what goes through their heads, because at some point they had to sit there and say, yeah, I'm going to go into this random place with a gun and start killing people. That's a good idea. And then a lot of times what happens is they kill themselves, because probably they like almost wake up from what they did and say, what did I just do? You know, so there are... if you see somebody screaming and yelling, whatever, they're probably justifying themselves at that time that they should be doing that. So, you know, even in times of anger, when you go all bent, you know, do you know what you're doing? And it does make you kind of, you know, realize, what am I, you know, the decisions I'm making, the things I'm doing, am I really of my right mind at that time? If I look back later on, what I have said, why did I do that? It's a really interesting question, and very well written here in this poem. Thank you. Leif.
Great comment. Thank you, Daniel. All right, I'm going to post the next poem, if you would mind reading this, Daniel.
I would not.
I would appreciate that.
Let's see what we have here. Let's see what we have here. I'm going to refresh. Oak Blue. And Poet of the Cabaret said, really enjoyed the show, but unfortunately has to go. Hey, I didn't know if they were doing a rhyme on purpose as a poet, but there you go. Lunchtime here. I love it when we have people all over the world. All right, so this is by Oak Blue 34 called Dear. Took me 2 years of sad Merlot nights to launder the stain of our two-glass marriage. From my life of grief, another 2 years until a clear bottle of Chablis didn't taste flat. Another two until I lost the craving for 2 inches sour whiskey when the sun washed faded clouds of yellow dawn. One more till I dipped my lusty tongue into the smooth of someone else's sweet vermouth and cut into rags my t-shirt stained long ago Merlot tears and poem.
Well, it's definitely interesting. You know, it took me 2 years of sad, married nights. Sorry, Merlot nights. You know, to launder the stain of our two-glass marriage from my pile of grief, another 2 years until a clear bottle of Chablis didn't taste flat. You know, when somebody affects your taste, you know, that's pretty impactful. But it's definitely metaphorically rich. You know, it's steeped in metaphor. And, you know, tasting people like their wine or vermouth, you know, I guess this speaks to a bad relationship and moving on from that, you know, but it's done with the taste of alcohol instead, which is interesting for sure. I liked it. Definitely. Great read, Daniel. And Weaver, what did you think?
I thought this was very interesting. I actually enjoyed it a great deal. It's a person after my own heart. You know, scattering your poetry with all the different drinks. I thought it was so clever. Yeah, and in the AN, it says, commented on the first 7 poems submitted, 84 words, Merlot stained on an unused white t-shirt you found at the back of the rack. So yeah, this is very, as I say, very clever. And I do love the way it flows. But I do like the last few lines. My lusty tongue in the smooth of someone else's sweet vermouth and cuts into rags my t-shirt stained with long ago Merlot tears. Very clever. I really enjoyed it. Thank you so much. I love your imagination, Oak Blue. Thank you.
Yeah, for sure. Great comment. Thank you, Weaver. And Daniel, you read it. What did you think?
I thought it was great. I really like Oak Blue 34. I've been seeing more of them on different contests. And it's very interesting to tell this kind of relationship story through alcohol. You know, sad years of Merlot night. So I can almost see, like, the person having to use alcohol to get through this relationship and then going into the next one, you know, my lusty tongue and smooth of someone else's sweet vermouth. So having to go into the next one, you know, do I want to go into another relationship? So having to use alcohol to get into that relationship, you know, and there are a lot of people that you know, can't open up. They're very shy. They're unsure of themselves, so they do use alcohol to kind of open up a little bit to try to have fun. So just interesting of the, again, the tale told with the, you know, the pen of alcohol is interesting. So great job, Oak Blue.
Absolutely. Great comment. Thank you, Daniel. All right, Weaver, I've got the next poem up, if you wouldn't mind, please.
My pleasure. Okay, we have Saw With My Own Eyes by Jenny the Deep. don't need to hear in, oh, sorry, don't need to hear it through the grapevine, for I saw them with my own two brown eyes. Usually there is two, but I'll make it three sides. Each story changes until she caught in her lies. Nearly lost my mind seeing them in disguise, torn in what to do, watching my best friend at the bar, kissing her side guy. Obviously, never would I tell, but persuading her to confess won't go well. Finally had the courage to give her tough love, trying to save us both from his wrath above. No need for the echoing, gossiping grapevine, for how many eyes now are no longer blind. End poem.
Wow, he must have been a bad guy, that's all I can say. She was trying to protect her friend from him and herself. Fantastic, right? You know, it speaks to being watched over by something above and, you know, not wanting to feel that wrath by going down the path that you're on. So she's trying to change that by telling everybody the path that her friend is on. So I found that interesting for sure. You got to look out for your friends, no doubt. What did you think, Daniel?
Yeah, I saw it a little different, almost like she was more looking out for her friend, like, why are you, because it's her side guy, why are you cheating? You know, why are you doing this? Like, you don't want to, you know, you're going to regret it. You shouldn't be doing this thing. So, you know, confess and move on. You know, the prompt, I heard it through the grapevine, so kind of talking about gossip. And it sounds like she heard through the grapevine that her friend was, you know, had little affair on the side, and then finally saw it and wants to, you know, confront and say, you don't, you know, this isn't what you want to do. You don't want your life to be a lie and have this thing. And, you know, interesting the way that Jenny writes very, very personal. You know, I don't know if this is personal or not, but she writes more, poetry, it seems like, that's very personal and very, and usually has some sort of relationship issues in there, and she does it very, very well. I took his wrath above as almost like from, like, God, like saying that, you know, you don't want to, and that's, you know, that's really the deal, is the guilt, right? Is the passion that you're feeling now, is it worth the guilt that you might have later of, you know, regret? So, I liked it. Nice little brevity. Very powerful.
Yeah, fantastic comment. Thank you, Daniel. Okay, I've got the next poem up, if you wouldn't mind reading that, Daniel, please.
Let's do it. Let me refresh, and we will get on our way here. Where are we here? Oh, this is by, Someday Man. We Were Old Lovers. What sallow, weathered, guttered words, we were old lovers, peels, a bleaching pail's undone label, branding only a greasy, raveled loss. Sports spit, quibbling winners thin, for to bask in mast as lovers once, foretells all the spinning tins roped, twirled, spilled, flung, and soaked. No girl or boy befriended spouses' exes, with their tickling drama splayed, piercing in public squares, circled arena, but a hushed, lucid, quiet, quintessent liar's intent. Vining viral twins tacked latch, barring under spectators' walls, lovers romp in mayfly fairy flight, in fleeting arc of sleeting gasps, core lovers corded are gasoline-fueled, tap pattered diamond sky whiffs, ticking lock talk pulsing a strobe, in the us-we haven, their pack pitched, orbiting, eddy collides in mirror shards, swept from a dusty hardwood pile, once breathed with only a primrose graft, lovers towed to the chasm's edge, dangling, yet whimpering, limped, tail tucked along paths perpendicular but polite, canned and store-drawn locker dry, shelved lovers we are old and were, can never be cinched again. End poem.
Well, deeply metaphoric. I liked it, you know. I liked all the covertness of the rite, you know. It speaks in tongues almost. But it's about living life and choosing not to have this relationship that stands right in front of you, you know, where you once breathed with only a primrose draft, lover's toad to the chasm's edge, the angling. Yeah, that's quite the image there. And, you know, you can see that a lot of people are on this precipice of, do we stay friends or do we move forward in a relationship and be lovers and take that gamble? So an interesting rite, no doubt. What did you think, Katie?
Yes, you're right. An interesting rite, definitely. This, and it is beautifully written. I do enjoy that so much. That first stanza is a wowzer. What sallow weathered, guttered words, we are old lovers' peels, a bleaching pale's undone label, branding only a greasy, raveled loss. It kind of makes me think of no girl or boyfriend spouses exes with their tickling dramas played. Makes me think of there's regret here, perhaps, of things not done or not done correctly or should have been done and were not done. I don't know. But that's kind of the feeling I get. We were old lovers. So so he's still looking at this as lovers as opposed to we were old friends. So there was a deep connection before. But yes, I thought it was very well written. I did love the way it sort of bounced along. It had this background of, I'm gonna deal with this. It's happened. Nothing I can do has to be dealt with and get on. So yes, I really enjoyed it. Thank you so much for sharing someday, man.
Great comment. Thank you so much. And Daniel, what did you think?
It's very, very interesting to read a lot of metaphors and imagery here. And, yeah, I agree with Weaver. I think that it's there's some regret here, and it's interesting. I'm thinking of it almost as, like, modern day where, you know, people, if you are, an ex, if you have an old mate, they, you know, how much do they have on you, right? They've seen the most vulnerable sides of you, you know, and know everything usually a lot of times about you. So they almost, you know, have something over you, right? And you have to kind of still trust them. You know, even somebody that you've, you know, do they have pictures of you? Do they, you know, what stories do they have of you? I mean, it's just all, you know, you're still trusting these people. And, you know, he touches on different, you know, different, you know, no girl or boyfriend or boy befriended spouses actually the tickling drama splayed piercing in public squares circled arena, vining viral twins tacked and latched, burrowing under spectators' walls, core lovers courted are gasoline-fueled, tap-pitted diamond sky whiffs. So, yeah, he does talk a lot about, about the, what's the dangers, but the trust that you kind of have to have in somebody that you've been intimate with in the past. So, yeah, interesting, very well written. I enjoyed it. Gray, I apologize. I got a couple of things going on here. I do have to drop, but if I can come back later, I will. But I'm glad I got to join, and I appreciate you guys having me.
Awesome. Thank you for calling in, Daniel. You have a good night.
Thanks, guys. Take care.
Bye, Daniel.
All right, so I've got the next poem up, and this is by Mosh18. It's called To the Girl in the Golden Cage. I want to find you in the places where you hide and sit beside your breathing, moving with its risings, murmuring with its fall. Keep these wordless whispers in the silver secret locked. Lock it, lying smooth against your breast, and with your bodies yielding, wash them of their sin. Fallen angels burning incense at silk and linen altars. We are the sacred offerings. We hold the flashing knives. We bring the holy and consuming fire. Whoa. That was definitely fantastic imagery and metaphor. You know, it's like wanting to be with somebody in their golden cage and being with them breathing and stuff. So, and feeling that breath as it, you know, it was definitely a fantastic imagery, right? You know, it has emotion in it as well, for the longing and this connection and the wish to have her wash away his fears in this golden locket. Yeah, fantastic, right? And pleasure to read it. Katie, what did you think?
Yes, I am. Yeah, as far as the metaphor is concerned, you're completely correct. It is beautifully put together. It got me a little bit puzzled, because we have, first of all, I want to find you in the places where you hide and sit beside you breathing, okay? And then we have the last stanza, fallen angels burning incense at silk and linen altars. We are the sacred offerings. We hold the flashing knives. We bring the holy and consuming fire. So are we talking here about him making up his mind, him having his thoughts on who it is that he's dealing with around him? Fallen angels burning incense, and not the same thing as and your body yielding, wash them off their sin. So you've got two different angles here, I think. Yeah, that's just my mind bounces around far too much. I really enjoyed it. I thought it was wonderfully written. So thank you so much for sharing.
Yeah, thank you so much. Absolutely. All right, we have one by Pam Ray, if you wouldn't mind reading this, please. Weaver?
Yes, of course. No problem. I just have to refresh.
I got to post it down. Here we go.
Oh.
It should be up.
Got it, I think. I got it. So, just give me 1 second. I'm going to have a little sip of my water because my mouth gets so dry.
Absolutely.
Pardon me for swallowing in your ear. Milkweed Glowing in Shadows by our one and only Pam Ray. Ravens roam a golden sky, moonlight melting in silk strands of milkweeds glowing. Love's embrace is a warm welcome of ethereal bliss blossoming. Elements merge in shapeshifter's shadows, water and earth caressing, whispering secrets to hearts twined together. Intoxicated on wine and music, the night reveals hope and desire. Eyes shining like stars, falling across the breath within the gentle bosom, fluttering. Naked branches rising toward mountain peaks, roots planted deep in soil seeded with the stories of trees. A kiss exchange between lovers, living joyfully, the song of the woods. End poem.
Beautiful, right? And a beautiful read as well. You know, I find that nature has a healing effect. You know, it will wash away your pain. And, you know, even if it's just that moment that you're there at that forest to experience it and then the world comes crashing down, at least you've got that respite to rest a little bit from those troubling times. And I really enjoyed it. I don't know if it was written to the prompt, I mean, to the picture, but, you know, it's based on a show called Twisted Tuesdays with the Twisted Sisters. And, yeah, you know, it's definitely engaging, image-filled, and you can feel the passion in it. You know, it's written from the heart and with feeling. So an excellent write, Pam Ray, and a beautiful read, Katie. So thank you for reading that. What did you think?
As ever, she never disappoints us. She's a beautiful way with words. I do enjoy them, really enjoy them. And I thought this was from the first stanza to the last stanza. It was just beautiful. Again, the first meeting with the story, ravens roam a golden sky, moonlight melting in silk strands of milkweeds glowing. And then we have these lovers together, enjoying the peace, the quiet, the beauty. A little glass of wine, a little bit of music, always good. And then we have the very ending of this, a kiss exchanged between lovers, living joyfully the song of the woods. Yeah, I really, really enjoyed this. I thought it was beautiful. And this one, again, had lovely movement throughout. It was, I don't know whether it's the way the stanzas were arranged, but it was just lovely. And it
might be
delight.
The alcohol affecting your eyes.
Oh, no, I didn't think it showed.
Right. Oh, yeah. I mean, things are moving, and you know, just saying.
Definitely. Yes, I thought it was beautiful. Thank you so much for sharing, Pam. And back to you, Gray.
Thank you. All right, so we're into the open poetry now, and you're up next, reader, so I hope that you're SoundCloud.
Oh, it's very long. I'm sorry.
Well, that's okay.
If I am awake, why then am I unable to move? If this is a dream, why am I filled with dread? If there is no danger here, who is screaming? If I can't offer comfort or aid, I must be dead. With that thought, the dream is shattered. A new dawn, which offers me no solution, shines bright, but not on those in limbo still, wrongly incarcerated, deserving absolution. The sun, emblem of hope, lingers longer. Every hour that passes seems like three. I doubt myself. What can a mere mortal do? Can I find those innocents, set them free? Night crashes in, darkness covers and shields. My untethered spirit flashes strong and bright. I enter the rip in the ether that allows me to search hell's evil caves to look for lost souls. In seconds, demons are alerted to my presence. These degenerates can only howl and gesture. The silver aura around me means I'm untouchable, although they can still maim spirits trapped here. Amid dank mist I float, knowing those I seek will be hidden. I hum a lullaby to allay fear. Then suddenly, silently, a frail figure slips into view. I gesture urgently. She comes closer, enough that I can clutch her to me. Now the floodgates open, howling demons and other denizens of the deep arrive. I shiver, and the girl says, "You will not be able to save me, sir. Pray let me go." "I cannot, will not leave you here. Hold tight unto me." Fear does lend us wings, although I knew not that demons, when you pass through them, smell like rotten, rancid eggs. I am near the rip when Satan, with the fallen angels, appears. Red skin and red eyes, talons and tail, he was evil personified. "How dare you enter my domain? I suggest you annoy me not. Leave the girl and go, or you will never find any peace. Only rot, decay among the dross, and pain refined, sharp enough to kill. When despair enters, will weakens, faith falters, defiance dies. With mere seconds left before annihilation and agonizing death, a beam of light, white, pure, cleansing and redeeming, shone. A melodious voice full of love spoke to my heart. You, Daniel, have pleased me mightily. I see thee both on a path to greatness. Your position will be that of Lord Protector-in-Chief for lost souls, while your companion is now free to decide her future journey." I heard a sweet, tremulous voice say, "I am Rosie. As I have no family, I wish to follow thee, Daniel, and aid in freeing pure souls from hell." My heart rejoiced as I vowed to share my life with this sweet girl.
Wow. That was amazing, SoundCloud, Katie. I really enjoyed your reading of that. You know, it lent credence to the right. You know, you can see this journey that this person goes on, and, you know, how they ended up there, you know. As I awake, why then am I unable to move? If this is a dream, why am I filled with dread? If there is no danger here, who is screaming? I can't offer comfort or aid. I must be dead. You know, what a haunting way to wake up, you know, to not being able to move, you know, wondering if you're dead. Yeah, that's definitely powerful, impactful imagery there. And, you know, you can feel the intent of love, you know, to be able to fly into the ether and be distracted by a silver shield. You know, I don't know. I see myself as a 7-foot stag when I go out into the ether, made of mercury so that nothing can harm me. And, you know, but untethered, you know, I don't know if traveling the ether untethered, that's a pretty dangerous thing to do, but obviously this person has the power to do that quite wonderfully. So, yeah, a fantastic story. I really enjoyed it. You know, I liked your title, Lord Protector. Hold on, sorry. My eyes aren't focusing. Sorry.
That's okay. It's just a funny title for me. I just thought I'd make it grandiose. Lord Protector in Chief for Lost Souls. I just thought it was just so, over the top.
Yeah, well, I mean, it sounds like, you know, something that does exist. You know, somebody has to fill that position. So I guess it would be you and your spirit. So beautifully done. Would you like to say anything about your poem?
Well, only that this is the longest thing I've ever written, and it was never meant to be this long. It just evolved. They kind of like evolve without any pushing on your part, I think, sometimes. And it was just a flight of fancy. It was, again, it's just me experimenting with playing around with people and things that might or might not happen. I do enjoy the dark side, so it just gives me free rein. I don't have to make a lot of sense, which is very handy. I enjoyed writing it. It was a bit of fun. So thank you for your very kind comments.
Great comment. Thank you so much. And, written for Fill My Eyes and Company. So you did it for, I like to play on that. All right. I'm going to go to the next right here. And I'll do Ben's first, because then you can read Hope's. All right, I'm going to post this to the group. Put my phone into desktop mode. And read it. Oh, too early. Okay, sorry. Okay, so this is called What We Never Were by Ben Hart. The Wedding. 1. The Wedding. Looking in on black swans, muse waltzing in white from everything before this moment and never coming down again. And I felt it as she intended it to feel for me, all too real. The look, the way she looked at me over her partner's shoulder, the depth of the room, the peace of her sway, the shadows that loom across my face, the weight of my fault, the dreamer's decay, the halt, the losing of the race, the cold of my hands where they were placed, the dying of a man in the presence of grace. And I knew what you were telling me. I release you from plan B. And if you must love, love what we never were. Enough for the both of us. 2. What we never were. Ben, my darling, I feel your breathing safely return to my skin and water the garden somewhere below the lungs of my chest and then the wings on my back like prayer at the altar of life. And I know the way you speak is a disguise when the tides in your eyes shift from a sea of empty motion into a maelstrom of melancholy, and I know where to remind you that you're safe with me, because I tamed the beast and tamed you of the strength to look to subdue that storm. The strength it took to subdue that storm. I have loved you among the blue away winds that cherish the perishing of distance. Every time your eyes unmoored mine, I have loved you. From the first word you wrote, all your love and all your lonely, and I salute your suffering, my dear Ben. I love all you gave me. A girl with your starborn eyes who sings like me, the lullabies you wrote when I got pregnant, and a boy with his father's restless heart and his mother's smarts. I loved everything we made, Ben, but our family was our greatest piece of art. We were stars that we learned to shine in the dark. I know who you are. My eyes know you. My reach knows you. My touch knows you. My mind knows you. And so does my body. I know who you are, Ben. I know who you are. The warrior that chose instead to tend the garden, whose love does not bargain, for every romance needs a martyr, and he'll be damned if it's not him, the monster that died for something temperate. End poem. Wow. And that's based on prompt 8 of the contest that he was in. And so I'm just going to see what that was, just out of curiosity. Who would she choose? I think it would be. Well, maybe not. Anyway, but so he did a wonderful job of, you know, capturing who they are and who they were, who they never were. And it really is impactful. I mean, it shows you the flip side of what could be and what wasn't. And I really enjoyed it, you know, especially that look that she gave him, that, you know, the wedding, looking in, black swan, muse waltzing in white, in flight from everything before his moment, and never coming down again. It speaks to the longing that, you know, this unexperienced love that was connected these two over her partner's shoulder, you know, that questioning. And, you know, and then it goes on to the truth of things, that it was never meant to happen, so it didn't. And yeah, I liked it. It was definitely engaging. I had excellent imagery. But no, it was a fantastic write. What did you think, Katie?
Oh, definitely a fantastic write. You're perfectly correct. And it has so many different layers, which I really enjoyed. So you have the beginning, the wedding. And again, we have people doing things that they're not sure of. You're not sure if it's the correct thing to do. But looking in on black swan muse waltzing in white, in flight from everything before this moment and never coming down again. So, yeah, it kind of gives me the idea that somebody has made a decision, and because of that decision, they can't go back on it. So they just go for it. And they're never going to come down again. They're never going to actually retrace their thoughts and wonder if this is the right thing. They're going, they're flying, and that's it. That decision has been made. But then you have someone who's been left behind and still looks upon the bride as somebody he really cares about. And so plan B is, and she's giving him permission, if you must love what we never were. So she's basically saying, you know, I understand you've got to live a life and do it better than we did it. So yes, beautifully written and very deep, and I'm probably completely wrong in my ideas, but I really enjoyed it. So thank you so much for sharing that, Ben.
Absolutely. Excellent comment. Thank you, Peter. Okay, I have the next poem up. It's by Hope Soul, if you wouldn't mind reading it, please.
Yes, of course. No problemo. Just have to... Come on. Nope. I'm going to refresh again. What a refreshing job.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, I got it. It's like catching a fish. I get so excited when I actually get hold of the poem and open it up.
Yeah.
So, ink and pen. I could write about anything, but my pen always leads to you. The mindless scribbles of yesterday have drifted away. Now my pages beat for you, the heart of my words. Thump, thump, pulse from my amour. I could write about bleeding sunsets that drop down skylines. My words could climb mountaintops, screaming to plummet, drop. With cursive amateur skill, my ink slides, slops, hoops to loops and dots, eyes, all leading back to you. I could write about anything, my darling, but those poetic hands, poetess mind, chooses to write about you. End poem.
Well, you know, when your pen wants to write about you, that's pretty epic, you know, when everything in your energy is tuned to him. That's a beautiful thing. So congratulations, Nuno, on such a wonderful, loving partner. And I really like to write, you know, it's imaginative, you know. I could write about bleeding sunsets that drop down skylines. My words could finish climb mountaintops and screaming to plummet the drop. With cursives, amateur skill, my ink slides open, slide slopes, hoops, and two loop and dot eyes leading back to you. Fantastic imagery, and I really like the emotional connection in it. So fantastic, right, Hope, and a great read. Peter, what did you think?
As ever, beautifully written. I do enjoy Hope's work as such. You know, it's true, it's deep. There's nothing unnecessary. The words are there and give you exactly what Hope wishes you could get from her poetry. And it's wonderful that they have this beautiful relationship. And then when you see that last stanza, I could write about anything, my darling, but those poetic hands, poetess mind, chooses to write about you. Huh, lovely. Really is. Very sweet, very loving, and very well written. So thank you so much for sharing, Hope.
Beautiful comment. Thank you, Weaver. All right, I'm going to grab the next poem here. And this is by A. Shaknovsky, and it's called To Meet Again. I'm going to post this to the group. All right, Mr. A. Shaknovsky, I will post your poem, and then I will put my phone into desktop mode. I can read it for you. All right. Okay, so this is To Meet Again by A. Shaknovsky. When I review the passages of time, retrieving hours long lost in memory, I read once more the pages of my prime. And I relive a life that used to be. I think about the girl who changed my life, those precious courting hours that we once knew, that special day when she became my wife, and the times we shared. I lived them all anew. But now my summer's gone and winter's near. The golden days have all passed me by. The photograph just fills my eyes with tears as I recall our very last goodbye. Though time has come and taken her away, I pray we'll be together like before. And when we meet again upon that day, we'll walk together, hand in hand, once more. That's beautiful. Sad, but beautiful. I mean, you know, when you have love like this and they're taken from you, it leaves you empty. And it could leave you empty for life. And, you know, every day is a challenge to get through when you're longing somebody's company hand holding. And I thought it was a beautiful, sentimental, right? Very moving for sure. What did you think, Katie?
Yes, so sad. It's always the case, the hurt for the person left behind, feeling bereft, feeling lonely. And it's also wonderful to have had a relationship like that, so that living your life waiting for that moment when you can pass over and meet your love again. So it kind of feels as if this is a life half lived, never fully stepping into that world, but just on the periphery, just watching as time goes by. Very sad, very sad, but totally understandable. It must be, as I say, a wonderful thing to have a love like that, even once in your life. So thank you so much for sharing that with us.
Yeah, you know, I mean, it brings that question to mind. Is it better to have loved and lost than never loved at all?
Good question. That is a very hard one to answer, too. It does depend on your own history, doesn't it, really? But yeah, I imagine, yes, better to have loved than lost. Because if you never loved, you would just be this dry husk of a person. As I said, I've said before a million times, love is such a hard thing. It's such a difficult thing. It should be light, breezy, beautiful, and sweet. And sometimes it's the total opposite of that. So it really is just that throwing of the dice, isn't it? Unfortunately.
Yeah, absolutely. There's nothing guaranteed in life. But, I think you grab what you can when you can. So, I choose love. Than to have said about it. All right, so this next write is by Essa Machiba. It's called You and I. And I will give that a read. Oh, no, you give it a read, please.
Yeah, of course. One moment. I've got it. You and I. Oh, beautiful picture. Look at those colors. Oh, lovely. Right, sorry. Out of it. Blue is like my favorite color, so here we go then. Every love story is a legend, a miracle which has never happened before, making dreams come true, seeing the wonders it can do when now becomes forever. Together we traveled through seasons of monsoon for a million eons, painted thousands of words that poets love to draw upon the face of the moon, in the limelight, disclosing what's deep inside, opening like a rose petal by petal, keeping the mystery alive, living in each other all along, you and I. End poem.
Wow, that was a beautiful read and a wonderful, right? You know, she is very loving and caring, Essa, and I enjoy her poetry. It's always so soulful and just beautiful. Every love story is a legend, a miracle which has never appeared before, making dreams come true, seeing the wonders it can do when now becomes forever. And then she goes on to say, you know, the life that they had together, through seasons of monsoon, for a million eons, painted a thousand words, the poets have drawn, let love to draw, draw upon the face of the moon in the limelight. Yeah, just so beautiful, right? Amazing imagery, and you can feel the emotion in it, which you read very well. Thank you so much, Katie. And what did you think of the night? I mean, it was right, sorry.
It was really, really lovely. It's sweet and tender, and it would be a wonderful thing to have, wouldn't it? I like that last stanza so much. Disclosing what's deep inside, opening like a rose petal by petal, keeping the mystery alive, living in each other all along, you and I. Yeah, that's, you know, that's a side of love that is really good, where you get to, you become so close to a person that you can think like them, you can finish their sentences, and the same for them. So yes, beautiful. I mean, it's exciting when you enter a relationship like that. But I did enjoy the fact that those first few lines are just so, it's obvious when somebody puts it down in front of you. You may not think about it before, but when you see this, every love story is a legend, a miracle, which has never happened before. And you think, you know, that's correct. That is so true. So I did enjoy it very much, and it was very, very lovely. So thank you for sharing.
Beautiful comment and an amazing read. Okay, so I've got the next poem up. This is by A.R. Mundell, a.k.a. Amy. It's called Caffeine Alignment. Breath reverberates through coffee, like waves upon the mind. Reverence steaming through my lips. Eyes secluded my caverns. As I feel about for the next star in the constellation, as my night is washed away by pulsars, sip by word, aligning, sip. And I like it, you know. I think most of us have an addiction to coffee addiction. I don't know what you call it, but you know, a lot of us need it, and, you know, don't talk to me unless I've had my coffee, because you might not like what you hear. Yeah, I need a coffee in the morning for sure. And, you know, I like it. It really speaks to those addicted to coffee and how the universe aligns with coffee, and it helps make things right. So a fantastic write. Air Mundell, a.k.a. Amy, and a great pleasure to read it. So, excellent job. What did you think, Edie?
Oh, yeah. First of all, I love that title, Caffeine Alignment, because you can see in your mind's eye thousands of people fumbling about in the morning, desperate to get that coffee on, and then everything will be fine. It's such a, I mean, yeah. For me, my early morning cup of coffee is like 2 o'clock in the morning when I've just wakened up for my 2 hours sleep. So I agree, coffee is a necessity. It's got to be there. But I thought, such a clever write. I mean, it was 41 words, but you've got everything within that. And so beautifully expressed, which, you know, I love the alternative eyes that we find within all these poets at work. Everybody looks at things in a completely different way. They act to them differently and have different ways of showing us this. But I thought that last stanza was so cool. As I feel about for the next star in constellation, yeah, as my night is washed away by pulsars, sip by world aligning sip. So good. So good.
Yeah.
Oh, Amy. Thank you, Amy, for sharing that with us. It was a little gem.
Absolutely. Great comment. Thanks so much. All right. I've got the next poem up. This is by the poet. And it's called Nocturne of the Music of the Night. And she has a SoundCloud, so I'll play that. Or he, I think it's she. Yeah.
Nocturne of the Music of the Night. Extended. The night is like music, it is cool and crisp, smooth and elegant. Stars twinkle like music. The moon sails across the sky like a music score. The darkness is the beat of the heart listening to music, or looking into the mystery that is the night. The night falls like a sweet whiff of music. The beauty of the night is the music of the stars. The ghostly light of night is like an aria, soft. The song of the night is the unearthly glow, the ethereal atmosphere of night. He is like a favourite song. The night tugs on the heartstrings like a beautiful voice in song. It is the music of the night.
Oh, beautiful read. And I like that, you know, I mean, to see the night as music, you know, it's definitely interesting. You know, it reminds me of a song. I can't think of it, though. Jeez. Yeah, who is it? I'm trying to think of the song. But, you know, without the night, you know, a lot of people wouldn't meet up because they're too afraid to do it in the day. So there's people searching the shadows in the night for the connection that they long for. And, you know, some people do find it out there. But, you know, nobody wants to be alone at night, I don't think. And this really captures the essence of that. And, you know, I thought it was a beautiful read as well. So thank you for sharing so much the poet. Great job. What did you think, Katie?
Yes, wasn't that beautifully read? I love that accent. Oh, I thought I was on mute for a second, but I'm not. That's good. Yes, as you say, music written about in a completely different way. It's wonderful. The night is like music. It is cool and crisp, smooth and elegant. The stars twinkle like music. Again, it's just got a lovely rhythm to it. The moon sails across the sky like a music score. The darkness is the beat of the heart, listening to music or looking in the mystery, which is the night. I'm a night person, so I can really connect with this. There's something about the softness of the night, and it dulls the sharp corners, and it dulls the sharp corners, makes everything soft and sweet. So, yes, I can understand that this would be a wonderful song of the night. Yeah, I enjoyed it very much. It was very well written. Thank you so much for sharing.
I agree very, very much. Thank you for sharing that comment. Okay, I've got the next poem up. This is by Rosewater 515, if you wouldn't mind, please.
Yes, of course. I'd be happy to. Love divine, all loves excelling. Journey through our earth by train, motor, and plane. We search until the end of time, seeking love and compassion, to share our hearts and souls with others. Family of humanity, God's paradisal world. End poem.
So that's from a hymn by Charles Wesley. And love divine, all loves excelling. You know, I believe in that. You know, love is divine, and love is, I think, what keeps the world going around. I mean, if it was hate, then, you know, we would just be dead. Everybody would have killed each other. And so I thought that she captured that essence of love being divine and excelling. I mean, that's what keeps us going forward, either, you know, searching for it to have that connection, you know, whether it's a familial connection or a connection of, you know, that different kind of love that as human beings we seek and definitely do find if we're lucky enough. So great, great, and a fabulous read as well. What did you think, Katie?
Yes, I thought this was, wow. Those first two lines are so damn good. Journey through our earth by train, motor, and plane. And everybody, it seems, no matter who they are and where they are in their lives, what kind of personality, what kind of beliefs, are seeking love and compassion. It's the common denominator between us all, I think. Even the most dastardly of people want to be thought of as desirable, even though they're probably not. but I thought beautifully written and in a wonderful brevity. And you can just imagine, I like to think sometimes that if you were to look down on us on Earth, far enough away to see the whole of it, it would be like a tapestry and constantly being stitched and constantly being changed, and all that connection between everybody, that family of humanity, would be in this tapestry. So somebody way up there could look down and say, okay, that's going all right, and that's going the way it should, and this maybe needs to be tweaked. So yeah, I think family of humanity is a beautiful phrase. So thank you so much for sharing.
I'm just Googling who wrote a book about life as a tapestry. I can't think of the name who wrote this, but basically it was saying, if you pull one thread out of the tapestry of life, then it all falls apart. So every thread needs to be there, whether it's thought of as needed or not. So, excellent write and a fabulous read. All right. Okay, so, hold on, I didn't want that one up there yet. Do you even get all disembodied here? Put this right one up here. This is by Anonymous Soul 2. And this is the group. And we'll give this a read. All right, here we go. We Are All the Same by Anonymous Soul 2-3. Guess I'll move. Okay. Hey, Homo sapien. It's long since you have been living here. Why still the differences, dear? World still runs a day for 24 hours, yet your retina differentiates people in colors. Decades have elapsed, moons have eclipsed, there's been hours of rain. This is not the place that someone should reign. This is nature's game. We are all the same. God is one. He sent us here for temporary fun. Why, in the name of religion, you fight like cattle stray? You find solace, we pray. Every faith gives you a holiday. Why do you criticize people on size or shape? Everyone, our God's, our Almighty's marvel with a hidden cape. No excuses, lame. We are all the same. Life is a circus. I may be smiling like a clown. Deep inside, I may be down. Judging me by my looks, keep you in my good books. World doesn't need a scale to measure strength. Quality of life is not measured, but in length. Need not point fingers and blame. We are all the same. Men and women belong to the same species. We are all in the same season of this planet's series. We have paid the same fees. The vehicle of life we ride in needs both the keys. A man has a lot going on inside and never says. A woman bleeds a lot and never complains. When the days get colder, they require each other's shoulder. No gender requires fame. We are all the same. Love is love. Let peace prevail through the dove. Wild the pride. Everything is going to vanish in a tide. Let's stay united as a tribe. All our differences let us frame. We are all the same. We are all the same. And, I believe that. Nobody is greater or lesser than the other, regardless of what it is that we're measuring them against. We all have a purpose. It's like that tapestry of life that I was talking about. If you pull one thread, it all comes apart. So, removing what you think doesn't suit your tapestry isn't the best solution, so just leave it alone, let it be, and carry on with what you're doing. It was an excellent write, and a pleasure to read it. What did you think, Katie?
Oh, yeah, very interesting poem. I like the slant of this. I particularly like Life is a Circus. I may be smiling like a clown. Deep inside I may be down. Judging me by my looks will not keep you in my good books. Yeah, I like that. It's again, you know, we are the same but different, men and women. We all are living on this world within the same time frame. And we need to get on better with each other. So that last stanza saying just that, love is love, let peace prevail, through my dove, why all the pride? Everything is going to vanish in a tide. Let's stay united as a tribe. All our differences let us tame. We are all the same, we are all the same. Yes, I like that sentiment a lot, because I think if you live with people, if you are around people all the time, you do get to the point where you automatically get to see the good side. I think everyone has a good side. It's just circumstances that bring out the bad side, which none of us want to see. So, yeah, I think if we could all get to that point in our lives, it would be wonderful. So thank you for sharing.
Yeah, it sure would. I agree with that sentiment. Thank you so much. All right, I posted a poem by Liquid Mind Forever, if you wouldn't mind reading that, please. Reading?
Yes, of course. Happy to. I just have to get myself back. I'll be there with you in a moment. Please just talk amongst yourselves. come on. Where are you? Oh, Liquid Mind. Is it Liquid Mind Forever? Yeah.
Yes.
Thank you. The winters of her discontent. At 5 years old, she trudged through the white depth of winter despair. Her mother lay warm and dry inside indifference, but her child's belly walked empty with a growling howl as winds of December swirled, chin and cheeks curled, frostbitten, blood rare. Downstairs, grandmother hid on the cold tile floor behind the bathroom door, but she could see. Legs knee-high in newly fallen snow, cold as a backhanded smack in her face, she hunkered down behind blindsided skirmish line signals, burning up in a raging turmoil. No hot oatmeal with cinnamon and raisins, no heated Pontiac to drive her to school, no trace of motherly love. Her pace a slow race without grace, her ordeal a festering duality, a pus pocket and boil. God bless America, land that I love, stand beside her and guide her, but she couldn't go on with the song. Assembly ended and the day struggled to find meaning and purpose. Gusts of wind met her square in the jaw. Flesh and sinew raw, she saw she wouldn't have a ride home. Disheartened, she slung her book bag over her heavy parka. Again she rose to the challenge. She walked another 30 blistering minutes in the sub-zero cold, plodded through the merciless ice-packed driveway to the back door and turned the knob, stomping her boots, shaking her body to unload the frozen snow, she sat down on the stairs. Hold on to the rail so you don't fall, she heard her grandmother yell down, kicking and stomping the gobs of mud and ice from her feet. She pulled off her boots, mittens, muffler, and wet coat. Come have a cup of hot cocoa, yelled her gran, before you start your homework. She tugged at her boots, threw off her wet mittens, socks, muffler, and tossed her coat over the banister. Silent and disheartened, she wondered as she mounted the 12 covering, linoleum-covered wooden stairs, if she would ever know the sweet purr of love or the taste of hot cereal and biscuits for breakfast. A hot tear touched her face. She smirked. End of poem.
I really enjoyed that. Great read. The Winters of Her Discontent. You know, what an amazing title. And, to be in this place so far away and so cold and alone, longing for that connection. Ashishi won a gold, I mean a bronze cup for this. But, you know, it is engaging. You know, you're really connected to this person as they're going through their day and their feelings of discontent. You know, that can't get warm, can't get food, you know, you can't get love. What's it all for? You know, I enjoyed Barbara's comment. She says, this little girl sounds a great deal like me. It's taking me a lifetime to acquire enough sense of self, keep going, often despair still. We were not the luckiest, were we? You know, some people just have this kind of life, and unfortunately for them, they got to go through it. And, you know, that hot tear reminds you that you're still alive. So I thought it was fascinating, right? Very engaging. Definitely hard-hitting as well. So excellent write, Look at My Brother, and a great read, Katie. What did you think of the poem?
Yes, a very deep, very deep and detailed story poem. So it was a pleasure to read. But as I was reading, I'm thinking, oh, poor kid. Not the very best of childhoods. But such a story that we've heard so often. And the fact that it's winter, oh, even worse. As we have there, I've lost what we have, hang on. Yeah, she's saying basically no breakfast, no heated breakfast for her. And off she had to walk to school for 30 minutes in sub-zero cold. Life is not easy for some people at all. And let's hope that this particular person gets the life they want and gets the love and the hot cereal and the biscuits for breakfast. I hope so. So thank you for sharing that with us, Liquid Mind Forever. Very interesting.
Absolutely wonderful comment. Thank you so much. All right, so we have another recording here. And I will play this after I post it into the group. All right, this is called Too Far Gone. Or sorry, Too Far by Gone Don Zeta. And she has a SoundCloud, so I will play that. Okay, just gonna find it here. All right. All right, here we go.
I asked for time and distance, even against your own insistence. That moment I knew it was doomed to end. In between the lines of horoscopes and vinyls, heeding the five signs, I fled. Minor indiscretions, mutual language of deception, wise goodbyes lingering left unsaid. Alarm bells alert, breached emotional wall, towards the goal of an empty thought, and nothing more at all. Pretty escapades, with the darker of the shades, flying trades on less of men, time and space combined, erasing earth to reach sublime. Perhaps then. Perhaps then.
Oh, what an interesting write. You know, I really enjoyed his take on life and living it. I asked for time and distance, even against your own insistence. That moment, it was doomed to end. In between the lines of horoscopes and vinyls, healing the fine signs, I fled. Fire signs, I fled. It really speaks to the losing of a relationship and much that haunts you in your daily existence. And I really enjoyed it, you know. Perhaps if time and space combine, then you can find some peace. But perhaps then. Yeah, beautiful, right? And a fabulous read as well. What did you think, Katie?
Yes, I enjoyed that SoundCloud. It was wonderful. And the music behind it was so lovely. Very well written. And that first stanza, I ask for time and distance, even against your own insistence. That moment, it was doomed to end. It's a horrible thing to see the end of a relationship coming at you. You know, you don't even have the good fortune to not know it's going to happen, and then it just happens. It's coming at you. You can see it. It was doomed to end. But also we have pretty escapades with the darker of the shades, plying trades on lesser men. That's very clever. If time-space combined, erasing earth to reach sublime, perhaps then. So we're being told that, you know, it's really an awful waste of time. Let's just get rid of the earth and start again. I think it's a brilliant idea. Yeah. So very well done, and thank you so much for sharing.
Absolutely. Wonderful comment. Thank you. All right. So I've got two mommy from Teresa S. Or two mammy, sorry. Okay. I'm going to put this on desktop. I don't know why. We have to get a stronger focus on things. All right. Two mammy by Teresa S. I had no souls on my shoes, mammy. No souls on my shoes today. I feel your say called mommy. Please show me in the way. I'm afraid they will see my here. Heart, the pity, the hurt, and the tears. For I have no souls on my shoes, ma. No souls on my shoes today. No one can see your heart, baby. All they will see is your soul. The truth in your bony eye, bare the nectar dripping off your tongue. So donder lawfully, ma, be strong. And the world will see that ye hold. I can name donder lofty, mammy. What are the shadows they come with the spring? And ma feet your dole kit and cod, mommy. His gang mocks some shoes. My baby makes shoes for you. Put it in for them. Shoes with wings at the heel. Brain barren. The kind of fly you wave to your dreams. Fly your damn to your dreams. With shoes, with wings on the heels, baby. You can fly away. Take your dreams. Well, that was a tricky accent to put on it, but I like it. You know, it's somebody who's going shoeless and thinking that people will see their heart. And the mom's like, no, they will see your shoes, your soul. And so I guess I was supposed to be Scottish in that reading. It didn't sound too Scottish, but, it was a pleasure. I mean, you know, it was enjoyable trying to catch those, the alliteration of those words. It was definitely good write, you know, engaging. And you could see all this. Reminds me of that poor kid that went to school hungry and freezing. So, excellent, right? And fabulous to read it. What did you think, reader?
Oh, yes. Well, I think I may have perhaps understood it a little bit easier than you did, because it is written in the dialect, in the sound of the words of a Scottish person. And, you know, things like bairn, which is a child, I kind of donned a lofty mammy, for the shadows they came with a spring, and my feet air drook it and called mammy, then gang mack some shoes, my baby, make shoes for ye and for them, shoes with wings at the heel bearing, then fly, then can fly ye a war, tack your dreams. Yeah, beautifully written. I really enjoyed it. Oh dear.
Absolutely. Thanks so much, Stephen. I think we've got time for one more. I'm going to squeeze it in here. The last one, so I'd like to get it done. If you wouldn't mind reading this, please, reader, did you see it?
Yes, of course. I'll just refresh.
No, not yet, not yet. It's great.
Oh.
Okay, here you go.
Thank you. Right, here, where are we? Oh, yes, got it. Of the willow tree. Wow. Cool. Death of the willow tree. Long verdant plats dangle low, deep in blue river to take a sip. Silky tresses swing gently slow, feeling the vagrant forest breeze. Jade velvet tendrils kiss me soft, ripples whisper sweet melody. Light zephyr wisps caress my skin, Arcadia neath lush green canopy. The starving grass moans and wails, choked yellow by the heavy shade. It yearns to see bright sun someday, begs me to pick my sharpened blade. Hack, 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 hack. Leafy drapes quiver and shiver. My axe's strokes are hard and strong. Gnarled rugged trunks shake and shudder. The willow falls with a tearing sound. Crown lies vanquished and distraught, cadaver in river, bobs floating free, the gashed trunk, an unsightly stump, green Arcadia is lost in history. End poem.
Beautiful read. And, you know, it says in this author's notes, inspired by one of my previous writes and a suggestion by Chris Wise to make a different ending to his poem. So I thought he did a beautiful job of this. It's terrible when you lose any kind of life, in my opinion, especially one that's providing nature greenery, which is a beautiful thing. So yeah, it's a bit of a shame that this tree came down, but I enjoyed it. What did you think, Katie?
Yes, you were there. You're in front of this starving grass and poor tree. I understand that sometimes these things are necessary. Survival of the fittest or some such. But it's always, as you say, it's always such a shame to see something that's hanging on there. You know, you just have to get rid of it for the best of reasons. But yes, I thought it was lovely. I thought it was there's somebody who really appreciates life and, you know, our world and the greenery within it. It's got to be looked after. So yes, I really enjoyed this. It really had a great message. So thank you so much for sharing.
Well, that said, everything's done for the night. So thank you so much for calling in and sharing your heart, your mind, your voice. I appreciate it. You have a wonderful day.
You too, my dear. Bye-bye.
Bye, Weaver.